It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Friday and Saturday, the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission is inviting the public to an auction of items from Harrisburg. To tell us more about the items and the stories behind them is Mary Jane Miller. She is collection manager for the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Tell us about what items that you have that are up for auction.
We have a whole variety of items that are going to be auctioned off. The auction is Saturday, beginning at 10 o'clock. And the feature artifacts from a Conestoga wagon to some sandstone pillars from an old house. We have some mining equipment. There are railroad publications and ephemera, and we have a lot of household goods, some agricultural equipment, some old wagon parts, you name it, prints and engravings. There's even an old vacuum cleaner and a kitchen sink. No, I'm sorry, a bathroom sink. So we really do have a whole range of things.
So there must be some really interesting stories, I'm guessing, behind these items, some of them anyway, particularly, I'm guessing, the old Conestoga wagons.
The wagons, the objects are all interesting in and of themselves, in my opinion. But the reason that they've been proposed for deaccession and they're now being sold is that we've taken a look at our collections and we've identified these items as either a duplicate, they are duplicated in our collections already, or they don't tell the story of Pennsylvania or their citizens, or the condition is poor that it would cost too much money to actually save them, if we have other examples. So the Conestoga wagon is one of seven that was at the Landis Valley Museum. And it was identified for deaccession because there were six others remaining that had stronger stories attached to them. We knew who used them. We knew who made them. And the condition was good. So we kind of took a look and said, well, we don't need six. They take up a lot of room. Let's move this one out.
And so when the museum comes in possession of items like these, where are they coming from? Who or what entities are bringing these to you?
These come from a variety of sources. Some of the a great majority of the items that the Pennsylvania Historical Museum Commission has in their permanent collections come from the public. Members of the public donate them. We also have collections that were gathered by families and then given over to us in large lots. So we took the good with the bad. And in some cases, that's what we're seeing here is some of the things that we're weeding out. And a very few of the items are actually purchased for the collection.
How does the process work? How do you decide what items to put up for auction?
Our curators on a yearly basis will kind of turn around and take a self-assessment of their collections, the health of the collection, and take a look and see, are there things here that don't necessarily help me tell the story of Pennsylvania anymore? Is the condition been degraded to the point we don't need it? Or is it better suited to belong in another museum? So what you see at auction is probably only two-thirds of what we've actually decided to deaccession. The remaining has been put back into public domain and other educational institutions. So if we know if we're deaccessioning something that has Pittsburgh provenance, then we will specifically target a museum or an educational institution in that area and try to transfer the piece to them. So once the curator makes this decision, a peer review committee takes a look at it so that we know that we're not making any mistakes in our process. And then we begin to try and place the objects within other public institutions. And what we cannot place with other institutions, we will contact the donors, offer them the opportunity to reacquire the pieces. And if that fails, then last resort is public auction.
How often does the donor want the item back?
Very rarely does a donor want something returned.
That's surprising.
Pardon?
That's surprising.
Well, you realize that we're stewarding collections that are anywhere from 75 to 100 years old. So the records of what Grandma Jones gave us in 1905 are not clear enough for us to be able to find her heirs. So we do our best to try and contact every donor with all the information available to us. But in some cases, if it's an estate that's been liquidated by a financial institution, that financial institution has closed the books on that, and they don't want anything more to do with the matter. There are times we're able to find heirs of a donor, and in some cases in this most recent round, there were actually a few that said, I'm so glad you could find something to do with these things. I hope somebody else can have as much enjoyment as we did.
What is the oldest piece, as far as you know, that the museum has? What is the oldest item in terms of how far back it dates that's in the state's collection?
We have a great number of very old things. I think probably the oldest items that we have are the fossils in our collections and the gems and minerals that I couldn't even pretend to give you a date on them. We also have things that span back to prehistoric times when Native Americans were occupying the Commonwealth, the borders of the land.
We are talking with Mary Jane Miller. She's collection manager for the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission. She's joining us by phone from Harrisburg. The commission is inviting the public to an auction of items being removed from the state's collection. And I want to make sure I have the right day. It's Saturday morning that this is all starting?
Yes, Friday evening there will be a preview available for public to come in and take a look at things. But the actual auction starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Now, how do you determine the worth of an item? How does that all come into focus?
You know, it's funny. I get that question a lot, but I really don't see these items as having market value, per se. The items, to us, are seen for their historical importance and the stories that they tell and the information that they can relay to the public. I don't attach a monetary value to them at all, so it's really hard for me to tell you what is important in these items. I can tell you that it's always interesting to go to these auctions and see what the market bears. You know, who is interested in these things and what are they willing to pay for them? That's of interest to me, but I don't keep track of what they are valued.
Can some of it be seen as priceless?
No, I don't think any of what we have is priceless. These are more mundane pieces. They're not extremely valuable pieces of artwork or one-of-a-kind vases. There's a lot of this is what duplicates what we already have in our collection, so I wouldn't think that there's anything priceless. Unless you want the story that goes along with it. That's priceless.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of really good stories, and I keep coming back to that Conestoga wagon, but is there some interesting story behind that that you could share with us?
Unfortunately not, or we might have kept it.
But you can only imagine where, you know, what it might have been through back in the day.
Yes, that's the really interesting part. When we were picking it up from Landis Valley, the curator was talking to us about how extraordinary it was that these rather small wagons, when you take those hoops and that cover off the top, they appear to be a somewhat small wagon that carried up to 10,000 pounds along the early roadways of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So that, to me, was very interesting to basically stand next to a semi-tractor trailer at the time.
So as these items go up for bid, what will the money that is raised be used for?
The money is reserved into a restricted account that can only be used to conserve artifacts remaining in the collection or to purchase new artifacts. So we can't fix a roof. We're not going to hire anybody with it. It is strictly for the benefit of the collection.
Is there a monetary target that you'll be trying to hit?
No, sir.
And how many people attend these auctions? What kind of level of interest is there for this?
It's always interesting. The auctioneers typically tell us that they'll see a small bump in their attendance based on the fact that it says that it's from a museum. But it really depends on what we're selling as to the kind of crowds that we see. And I really don't know what to expect out of this bunch because it really is a wide assortment of artifacts and publications. So I don't know what the feeling on the street is right now.
So you're not sure if or have a handle on whether particular items draw more people?
I know that in the past we have deaccessioned and sold Oriental carpets, and that typically brought dealers in. There's also been a lot of railroad memorabilia in the past that has been deaccessioned, and that brought a fan base in as well. but I don't have a strong collection of any of those kinds of things here.
So if someone is interested in an antique Conestoga wagon or some of the other items that are going up for bid on Saturday, what do they need to do later this week?
Well, I'm assuming they probably do not want to travel to Harrisburg, so you can go to CourtierAuction.com, and they do have images of the items being sold, and there's a listing there, and I've been told that they do take absentee bids.
And who doesn't want to travel to Harrisburg?
I don't know, with the snow coming this week.
Mary Jane Miller is the collection manager for the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission. Mary Jane, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Coming up, we'll introduce you to a children's book author from the area. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.